Today, the House of Representatives is setting rules for tomorrow's historic impeachment vote when Donald Trump is expected to become the third president in history to be impeached. Right now, members of the House are deciding how they'll vote. No Republicans are expected to vote to impeach. One Democratic rep switched parties to back up his no vote. And House Republicans are lobbying undecided Dems to vote no. One of the Democrats in the eye of this hurricane is the congresswoman from Michigan's 12th District, Debbie Dingell. Welcome back to the program, Congresswoman.
It is wonderful to be with you, Cindy.
So have you decided how you're going to vote tomorrow?
You know, I am leaning towards how I'm going to vote, but I think this is a very sad time for our country. I don't think any of us comes to Congress with the desire to impeach the president of the United States. And I'm really worried about how divided this country is. But I also know that no one's above the rule of the law, and that when I take an oath of office, it's not to put my finger in the air and the score of the politics. It's to protect our Constitution and our democracy.
We are here a day before the vote. What more do you need to see or need to think about in order to make your decision? What's the calculus here in your timing?
Well, I probably have made the decision, but I just keep rereading the Intelligence Committee report. The president denying people or saying to people, you cannot go testify before these committees. They're a clear obstruction of the Congress. I've gone back and read the Constitution. Believe it or not, I've read it like four or five times. But the clear, equal three branches of government, the oversight responsibilities we've had. I've read the Federalist Papers. I've read constitutional scholars. I went back and read all of the documents related to the Nixon Watergate investigation. I went back and read Clinton investigations because I am worried. I don't think that the country was as divided when the Nixon impeachment occurred or the Clinton impeachment occurred or the votes, the issues around them. But the fact of the matter is that nobody is above the rule of the law. And it is a clear violation of someone to ask a foreign government to support a political campaign. Has this risen to that level? And I do believe that this White House has very clearly tried to obstruct Congress and just being able to talk to people that need to be talked to and to get the facts.
I'm certainly hearing between the lines of what you're saying and what you're weighing. I guess I'm wondering why the reluctance to say, yes, it's going to be this way or yes, it's going to be that way.
You know, because I want people to know that it's a transparent process, that it's not a political vote. It's a conscious vote. It's a moral vote. It's about protecting this country. I take it so seriously. I didn't want to be part of drama, although the president sort of drew me into it. I've been very clear and very measured from the beginning about my concerns about division in this country. Russia, if you read the Mueller report, which is not brought into these impeachment charges, saying that Russia's trying to divide this country, reading intelligence reports of other countries about how Russia's trying to destabilize our government, that's also part of my job, protecting our national security. But more important is the fact that nobody is above the rule of the law. The rule of the law is what brings us together. So I've wanted thoughtful discussions because I think this is a sad day for our country, and it requires and demands thoughtful conversation and decisions.
Congressman, what are you hearing from your constituents in your district, especially those who believe it's the voters who should have their say on Donald Trump's future next November at the ballot box, not an impeachment?
You know, I've heard from many people. I had to go yesterday for an asthma checkup at the University of Michigan, and this has never happened to me before. But I think 25 people stopped me in and out the way to and from. And the last woman I saw was embarrassed to stop me. She said, you're at a hospital. I shouldn't be bothering you. But she was against impeachment, and she said it in a very calm way. I've had people scream at me that I haven't been a leader. You know, we need to get rid of him. And I'm very clear that the manner in which this has to be handled is very, very serious. And you don't go out and organize these major rallies that stir up hate and divide us further as a country. And I've had a lot of people scream at me. Quite frankly, the president's tweet on Saturday brought out some very angry, not nice people. And that bothered me too. But I also, on the way back to Washington last night, A man came up to me in the airport. I've never met him before, hugged me and said, "You're my congressperson, and I thank you for just being the person that you are and being so thoughtful." Hmm. So there are a lot of different approaches and how people think. People are engaged, I can tell you that much, and there are a lot of strong emotional feelings.
When I saw you on the receiving end of that Trump tweet over the weekend, where he basically complained you had thanked him for granting top memorial and funeral service honors for your husband, John, and then now, as he said, "I watch her ripping me as part of the Democrats' impeachment hoax." What were your feelings when that tweet hit?
First of all, I have been very careful to not rip anybody apart. I believe that people need to be respectful, and I have been measured in everything that I have said. And quite frankly, I felt like I had been kicked in the stomach, and it's really bothered me over the weekend. John Dingell earned those honors. He fought in World War II. He was proud to be an American. He can go after me. I'm sure he's going to be very angry at how I vote. So I suppose I'm telling you how I'm going to vote. But I just don't want to be part of the drama. But to tarnish the service of my husband, it really made me sad. And honestly, Cindy, I'm already having a hard time at this holiday. So it was hard. To say that it didn't bother me would be a lie.
And I want to make sure I'm very clear. You said, "I don't think President Trump's going to like the way you vote tomorrow."
You are correct.
Well, you did respond on Twitter, and please share with us what your message was back to President Trump.
I've been clear since the day he won that I would work with him if the issues would help the working men and women of my district. People are worried about lowering prescription drugs. We have a new NAFTA trade agreement that we're all looking at. There are many issues that we do need to worry about and deliver for the people of this country that we're working on every single day. But that doesn't mean I abdicate my responsibility to protect this country, our national security, or our democracy. And that's the oath of office that I take.
You know, I think about the fact that your husband was there for the Nixon impeachment hearings and the Nixon resignation. He was there for President Clinton's impeachment. Are you talking to John as you make this decision?
I keep saying, "I wish you were here. I wish I had your advice." I think about him. I've gone back and read his book again, by the way, just to, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, so many people think that this is, we just have to get rid of him. Well, I will not be voting for him in the next election, and I'm going to work very hard to get someone who's going to unite us as a country and vote the way that I do on many issues. It's just, this is a very hard time in this country, and I'm really worried about this division. I worry about what social media has done to us and the way that people can just say the most bullying, vitriolic things. I think the worst thing this president has done is that the tone of the rhetoric in this country and the way that people talk to each other and the things that people say are okay to say to each other is devastating. People can disagree agreeably, and I think we need to get back to those kinds of days where people actually talk to each other. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. People have different life experiences, different perspectives. We learn from each other. When you bring those learnings together and find common ground, you actually get to good places.
You know, here we see Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell not budging. We haven't seen anybody make movement, and we can, I'm sure, expect as much as the House is going to impeach, the Senate will not remove him from office. Where do we go from here, Congresswoman?
Well, I mean, first of all, I will say that I was working for Senator Bob Griffin, a Republican senator, when I was very young. But I remember flying back with him from Michigan the day I was lucky enough to be with him to learn. The day that he called Richard Nixon and told him that he needed to resign. And he talked to me about what his responsibility was first to this country. The fact of the matter is that there are people that should have testified before the House that I hope the Senate will call. The chief of staff at the White House, the former national security advisor. We don't know what further facts will come. So in essence, the vote we do is a prosecutor bringing charges, but the Senate will consider all the facts. If you look at Richard Nixon's record and Bill Clinton's record in terms of what they accomplished in their administrations, why these horrible times were going on, they're very impressive records. Richard Nixon brought us many things that people don't realize, from HHS to the Environmental Protection Agency. He oversaw such things as the Endangered Species Act. I mean, he was in many ways supported very strong environmental regulations. So we need to be working for the people. I was with Senator Stabenow and my colleagues just a short period of time ago. There are 400 bills that we have passed in the House that the Senate has yet to take up. 90% of them are bipartisan. We need to get on with the people's business. They don't send us to Washington to fight. They send us to Washington to work for them, to protect them, to deliver, to make their lives better. And we got to figure out how we're going to do that. Many of my friends on the Republican side, I talked to them. I worked with this president. And that's maybe why the tweet bothered me, because we in the Congress have to work with each other across the aisle and recognize the danger that the division in this country is to our democracy.
Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, we want to thank you for talking with us through the years on Stateside, including today at this moment in American history.
Thank you. I'm going to miss you. I have to say that. You have been a rock in my life before Congress, during my Congress, and you just better stay in touch with all of us because we love you. You've done so much for the Southeastern Michigan community, and you're a voice of reason, knowledge, and steadiness. We love you. We will miss you.
Well, thank you so very much. And I will be following our public leaders as you do this tough job. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.